The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in Matthew, the 21st chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the people spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, long ago, there lived a king who was gifted, wealthy, and wise. The king made music with his harp and sang songs of praise to God. He won battles and conquered his enemies. He had everything you could want and even more. But the king also had a son. Actually, he had several sons. But one stood out from all the rest. This son was handsome beyond all measure. From the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, there was not as much as a blemish upon him. The hair on his head was full and thick, but the thoughts inside his head were wicked and devious. He murdered his brother. He fled, and his father, the king, wept over the pain in his family. Yet the king loved his son and in time called for a son to return again to the royal city. The son came home, but his thoughts were more evil than ever. He camped for 4 years at the gates of the capital and played the politician. He heard the complaints of the people and promised solutions. In time, he won the hearts of the population. And at the end of 4 years, he revealed his secret plan. As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then say, Absalom is king at Hebron. The message came to his father, David, the king. The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. David said to his servants, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. So out of Jerusalem went David, the king, along with his servants, and all the Cheratites and all the Pelatites and all the Gittites who had followed him. In time they came to the Mount of Olives across the valley from the city. And David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. Does the story sound familiar? Even if you've forgotten the exact results of Absalom's rebellion against his father David, the story has a familiar ring to it. It is our story. We, like David, experience the brokenness of sin in our lives. We see it in the world around us. People continue to kill one another, kill innocent people. There's so much senseless killing that goes on in our country. Talk about evil and brokenness and the need for repentance and changed hearts. And sometimes we see it in our own families. When people don't get along or they shut others out, and they avoid talking to one another, and disagreements occur too many times over things like money and inheritances. And we see the pain and the hurt, and often we feel helpless in bringing healing and reconciliation. We experience it in our own lives because our words and actions help contribute to some of those scenarios. Amidst the dreams of the perfect Christmas is the awareness of our own deep imperfections and our sins against God and, yes, against our neighbor, the closest neighbors being our own family. Too many times, our egos, our needs, and our desires are more important than those of anyone else. And so, like David, we have wept. We have tasted the bitterness of our tears. We flee and run in terror from our sin and its consequences. Sin, as you know, can often have us curved in upon ourselves. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, and this starts earlier and earlier and earlier every year, the world around us will offer us with a vigor that is unique to this season its answers to all our woes in life. New toys and gadgets will be dangled before our eyes, each one promising to make us better, happier, or somehow more complete. However, for all who have experienced the brokenness of sin, who have been driven from comfort by their failures and have cried out to God for deliverance, there is good news. Your King comes to you, which is our theme. Our text is from the Gospel, Matthew 21, and it quotes Zechariah 9:9, "Behold, your King is coming to you." As we begin the season of Advent, hence the Advent wreath, hence the beautiful blue pyramids, we also begin a new church year. And we are again focused where we need to be, upon the King who came in human flesh, our Savior, Jesus. Absalom was not David's only son. Jesus is the long-promised son of David who had come through that bloodline. Jesus comes to be the king that none of other of David's sons could be. For Jesus is the royal son of David. In our text, Jesus gives specific instructions. He tells his disciples, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." Jesus enters into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, from the place where David had experienced shame. And he comes to the holy city to redeem us from our sins. What we see in the person of Jesus in comparison to some of the other sons of David is that Jesus comes in a humble and a gentle way. The text says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming to you, gentle and mounted upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Though popular with the crowds, Jesus does not come to gain their favor, and in fact will ultimately be rejected. And this whole scenario won't take very long. From that glorious triumphant Sunday march and entrance to a painful crucifixion on the cross on Friday, the cries will shift from Hosanna to the Son of David. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." To the question which Pilate will ask of the people, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And yes, Jesus will be driven out of the city, not for his own sin, for he was sinless, but for and with the sin of all humanity, yours and mine included. As Paul put it, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus will travel from the Mount of Olives ultimately to the hill called Golgotha. And there Jesus will suffer. There he will bleed. And there he will die. given up into death by his Father himself out of his infinite love for each one of us. Jesus would share the curse of Absalom, who was put to death after he was caught in a tree. As Paul wrote, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Sin, death, and the power of the devil are conquered through Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. He became the curse in our place. As Peter declared in Acts 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Behold your king, the son of David, is coming to you. That truly is good news for us to hear and rejoice in. This humble king who rode into Jerusalem in humility comes to us. He comes to us in a very special and intimate way each time the Lord's Supper is offered to us here. He comes to us in his body and blood to forgive us our sins, to strengthen us to do battle with the world around us. Usually in the fall of the year, we experience some fog. And there's been a number of occasions when I've driven around the district to preach in the fall when it's really foggy. I remember, if some of you know where Garrison is at. If you don't, it's 36 miles from here. But one Sunday I was driving out there and it was extremely foggy, and I'd driven this road many, many times, and I drove right by my corner where I was supposed to turn. There's a couple ways to get into Garrison, about two. But I'm always reminded of these words from Isaiah when we have that fog. It says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The time between Thanksgiving and New Year's is a time for some major parades in our country. Bracketed between the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and the Rose Bowl Parade are all different kinds of processions. Yeah, Santa will come to the mall and be escorted to his throne. Christmas carolers will patrol the streets, and harried shoppers will proceed from store to store looking for the right gift. However, the parade that captures our attention is the one that happened on a Sunday in Jerusalem a couple thousand years ago. The Son of David returns to the city and comes to us in humility and with his blood-bought forgiveness to give us the comfort the world can never give. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.